Sure.
So I'm just going to, and we'll allude to the other sugya, but we're going to start a fresh sugya this week. So we're going to start the next member of the Gemara. I'm Rav Yehuda Merav, Arba Meyas Yiladim. Does that have any lines up, Eve?
I'm tired. Off my game. It's 13.
I'm Rav Yehuda Merav, Arba Meyas Yiladim Hayilo LeDavid. David had 400 children. The Kulan Bnei Yifos Torah Hayu. And they were all the children that came from a relationship of Yifas Torah. So the Yad Ramah here discusses, so what does that mean? So that means either David HaMelech went to 400 battles because he has one Yifas Torah per battle, or the Yad Ramah says that there were 200 battles but he had twins each time. So that's the cheshbon that he makes.
That's the only permutation.
The assumption is, though, that there's one Yifas Torah per battle. Fine. If you look at Rashi Kiddushin says that, not to take the Gemara literally, you don't have to get into Cheshbonis of how many Yifas Torahs, means from David and the people that ultimately took Yifas Torahs in his army that they grew up in his palace, wasn't actually literally his children, that it'd have to make a Cheshbon of 400. But the Yad Ramah took the Gemara very literally. Okay, so you had 400 children. They were all from Yifas Torah. Umegadle blorios hayu, and they used to have special haircuts, right? So we know this language. Umegadle blorios. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us this halacha that the Rambam writes in quoting that Gemara in the Dinim in the 11th parak of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. The Rambam says that you're not allowed to mimic goyim, and one of the isurim is to have haircuts that mimic the goyim. Zeo anikra blorius. He shaves his head in a certain way that he grows it like blorius. So then the Rambam continues, a fascinating Rambam. Two halachas later, Rambam says, but Yisrael shall yakarav lamalchus. Meaning, if you work for the government and you need to look appropriate, so then the Rambam says that then it would be mutter. So the Kesef Mishnah asks, I don't understand. It's an Isidoraisa. You're telling me it's Chukasakum. So how suddenly, just because you have a certain position, is it going to be mutter? Oh, so that's a big chiddush. That's what the Kesef Mishnah is mechadish over here. So Kesef Mishnah said, "In term, came in because Rabbi Nish lokal kol echem meilu heyach hayach koyach v'yad chom la'atir is the tavir lekurve malchus. What kind of heter is that? Yishloimer mishmatzolus Yisrael who desharik Yisrael omdem lufneam lochem he matzilim as Yisrael. So it's really like what Abe's saying. It's bikuach nefesh hatzolus Yisrael. But this is a very important marimachim to remember. Hatzolus Yisrael over here does not mean, you know, somebody's life is on the line. It means a guy who's connected, and this could ultimately help out. Right, this could help the standing of the Jewish community, and that's an important shot. Then the Kesef Mishnah has another shot. Inami shat Torah lo pirta davar ela amro ubechoseim lo selechu masra davar lechachamim. This is an example of a few different times we spoke about this. There's certain, this past Shavuos, we gave Shir on Hilchos Chol HaMoed. So we pointed out many times, Hilchos Chol HaMoed, the concept is an Issa D'Oraisa. But the rabbis were granted what that specifically and practically is defined to be. So the rabbis were given the authority to define the Malachas. So too, when it comes to Chukas Akum, Chukas Akum, the Torah just says, what is the Chukasayim Lo Selechu? What's not Chukasayim Lo Selechu? That's Gemara in Avodah Zarah. That's Chazal to define. So the second day in the Kesef Mishnah says, if it's in a matzav where you're working for the government and you're not doing it stam to just look like the Goyim, but you're doing it for a purpose, that is excluded from the Yisr. If you hold like the second day in the Kesef Mishnah, right, I think Rav Elchanan points this out. He says, obviously the second day of held, come on, that's not Pikuach Nefesh. Just to say a standing, if there's no chola lefanecha, that's going to be considered pikuach nefesh. That's going to be a big nafkamina, which day of the Kesef Mishnah you hold in order to explain this Rambam. So what's going on over here? So why is it relevant over here? So how are they Megadle Blorius? So one shot is, yeah, there was a purpose over here also. This is for Atzalas Klal Yisrael. Why is it for Atzalas Klal Yisrael? Because if people see these haircuts of the Goyim in the front of David HaMelech's kingdom, right, in his palace, so they'll remember, look how successful David HaMelech was in battle. Look how many people he captured, and he was successful to capture all these people from other nations that have these other haircuts that ultimately came to be under his rulership from his success in battle. So that's also perhaps Hatzolus Klal Yisrael. The fact that they represent, they were captives, that's going to instill fear into other people. Another pshat might be is, we didn't decide, you stay tuned, but maybe these people aren't Jewish. I mean, they were B'nai Yifas Tayr. So we have to basically discuss whether or not the fact that they were Megad Leblorius, is that a chiddush? If you hold that they were Jewish kids, which let's assume that for now, that these were people that David HaMelech married and then they had kids, right? So now why are they Megad Leblorius? So I'm telling you the reason is because, just like the Kesef Mishnah says, there's a heter. Just like certain times, if you work for the government and you have to look like them, that's Hatzolus Klal Yisrael. So this has Hatzolus Klal Yisrael in the opposite direction. Don't start up with us because remember, these were people that were captives and therefore they're Megad Leblorius to remind the enemy. Or perhaps, if we can come out to say that they're not Jewish in the first place, so that would be a reason why they got Megad Leblorius. And it's not just the Gemara just saying that, telling us how they parted their hair. You know, that obviously is a nafkamina for the way the haircut that they had. Yeah.
There's another way to learn it. Yeah. Now, they're blurious. They could have said, they trapez. They were off the derech. They were all off the derech. So that could be the code word, Megadli blurious, not really acting like Klal Yisrael. So who says that?
No one that I know, but I like it. I like it. And that's where to look. To look whether or not someone's how he wears his hair, how he parts his hair. Okay, good. The kulan yoishvin bikronos shel zahav, and they were all sitting in these chariots of gold. Umahalchem beroshe geisos ayu vehem ayu. I'm sorry, no, yeah, vehem ayu bale agrofim shel beis dav. Fine, and they were the strong, right, the strong people in the malchus of Base David. Fine. So up to Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to come back to that. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rav. Tamar Bas Yifas Toyer Heis. Tamar was also the daughter of Yifas Toyer. Shnemar Va'ata Daber No Al HaMelech Ki Lo Yimna'ani Mimcha. She approached, what does the pasuk say? She approached Amnon and she tells Amnon that you should tell the Melech not to restrict me from being with you. So ask the Gemara, and if you think what? That she is the daughter of a full-fledged marriage, and she's really Bas David, right? So how could she suggest to Amnon that David HaMelech is going to be okay for us, brother and sister, to be together? Elamai, Elishmamina, you see from here, that Bas Yifas Toyer Haisa. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. So you see that she wasn't a regular daughter, and she was a Bas Yifas Toyer, and therefore, she's Holech Achar Ima, and presumably the Gemara is saying that she was not Jewish. And therefore, after she joined the Jewish nation, she's totally, fully permissible to marry Amnon, and that's what her idea was when she suggested that we should be together. Right? Good. This is a big problem. And this really sets up how to learn Parshas Ki Tseitzei. Comes along Taisus in Sanhedrin, Chaf Aleph and Aleph, the top Taisus, and he asks a big question on Rashi. Shitas Rashi. I was in Lawrence a few weeks ago, and someone asked me about Yifas Torah. When is Yifas Torah Mutter? Mm-hmm. I was at a barbecue. Random question. When is Yifas Torah at Mutter? Is it after she goes through the whole process of growing out the nails or and the hair, or is it before? What's going on over here? It's a fascinating question. So this is mamish the sugya that we're going to get in right now. Pashup shot in the Torah. How to read the psukim? Mikan kosher leperish akuntris. There is a shitas Rashi, and shitas Rashi is leperish perakam de kedushin dafchav bezem et aleph. Veivesal toich beistecha milamed shelo yochetzenu b'mochama. Perish shelo yavo olah b'mochama. Umashma mitoich perish akuntris daafilu bia rishayna asura b'mochama ad laachar kol amaisin kulam. Says Rashi, how do I read Parshas Kitzeitze? I read Parshas Kitzeitze that I first have to go through this whole process, then I'm allowed to be with this Yefas Toyer.
Parshas that says the Achar Kain.
Right. Right. Exactly. Vim Kain, I think the Minchas Sunna points out that the Parshas Pshuto Shel Mikra sounds like this Rashi. Vim Kain, Lo Bo David Al Mocha Rak La Achar Shenes Gaira. So if so, so then David wasn't with the mother of Tamar Mocha until after she finished the Gairis process. Vim Kain, Bathni Suini, so it's Beferish against our Gemara. Rashi is Beferish against the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Ve'echa Shayar Atar Tamar La'amnon, Achse. Right? Ve'oida Amrino Loid de Retoira Ela Kenegat Yetzer. Also, Taizat throws in another Kasha. What's the whole reason for Yifas Toyar? Because the Torah wanted to give in a little bit and make sure that we don't have to be fighting with the Yetzer Hara. If that's the case, what's fighting it? You know what I have to do? I have to make sure that she grows this and grows that. And there's a whole long process. That's not a little dibritoyer kenegedi yetzer hara. But the real kasha is how does he deal with our Gemara? It's the fairest in our Gemara that there is no geiris beforehand, because otherwise they would have been brother and sister. So lekach perish Rabbeinu Tam, therefore Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam has a totally different interpretation of the parsha of Yifas Toyer. So that's what he says. No. The Gemara is saying that in order for you to continue to live with her, then you got to go through the process. But, no. In the Milchama, that's when the Torah says, Lo de Britar Kenegad Yetzer Hara, you have the ability to be with this Yefas Torah once, and that's going to be Matir. Ah! Says Taisus, now I can read this Gemara. Why? Because that's exactly when David was with Macha, and she was impregnated with Tamar at that point in time. She was a full-fledged Goya. Memela, she later on joined David's Malchus, David's religion, and they were Megayah later on, and that's what happened.
We don't know if somebody's born 9 months or 7 months.
What?
We don't know if somebody's born 9 months or 7 months. He's born 1 month later, but he married her.
What do you mean? Unless he wasn't with her, right? You're saying he was with her again. So how do you know? How do you know for sure? Right. So from the fact that Tamar is suggesting this, they knew that she wasn't with her after the Geirus, right? Or unless, I don't know. The truth is, I don't really know what happened with Macha. Maybe he got rid of her. I don't know. Did they stay together? What's the story? Maybe I don't know what happened with them. Could be that they weren't together afterwards. I don't even know what happened if he was Megayer the mother. Maybe eventually he wasn't Megayer the mother. According to Rabbeinu Tam. No, Rashi holds that he was. Rabbeinu Tam holds that they were together without Geirus. That was after. So then what happened afterwards,
I'm
I don't know.
I'm just assuming that it's so fast, you know. Those days Milchama wasn't a month.
No, yeah, but you're only allowed to be with her once.
I know, before, right?
Right. So
bring him home, it can be 6
Oh, you're saying so? It had to be, yeah. From that time, right? So there's some way of figuring out that it was. So how is Rashi going to get out of this? So Taisa suggests at the end, he quotes a Yerushalmi. He says these two opinions might be, it really is a machlokes, Rav and Shmuel and the Yerushalmi. And then he says another suggestion. Al Kain Nira at the end of the Tesis, six lines up from the bottom. Al Kain Nira, remember the Tamar Loyas Abbas David, She'ima Kvar Haisamu Beres, Keshebas L'Mochama. No, it wasn't Bas David, and really when he was Boel Macha, she was already pregnant, and therefore in Echanami, Rashi Shita is right. You need to be Megayir before your Baal Yifas Toyer. Aye, so what's with this girl? This girl. Was obviously was she was pre- our mother was pregnant already before David was Baala. This actually has nafkamina as lalach. This is a shaila that we deal with in Geiris. What happens if a woman, you know, wants to be Megayer and she's pregnant? So is
That's how Rasa
Lovikdusha. Rasa Lovikdusha Vleidas Vikdusha, right. So the children are Jewish, right? So we usually assume that the children are fully Jewish. The Gemara has a language
when she's Tovel,
the Geirus helps for the for the child as well, because the Gemara asks, why isn't the body a chatzitza? Yeah. So the Gemara in Yevamis Nayaches, the Gemara says, Hainu Revise. Gemara says anything which is an important klal and general for chatzitzas, anything that's in its natural state, that's not a separation. Mm-hmm. Even though there's nothing that's the body at all is not coming in contact into the water, that's tefillah. Tefillah doesn't necessarily mean you have to touch water. It just means that you need no separation in the water. So if you have a situation that it's not considered a chatzitza and it's not considered a separation, so in theory that would be considered a kosher tefillah. The problem is that a child was born to a Jewish mother, so that's part of the issue. Why does the Gemara have to say that the tefillah works for the child if when the child's born, the child's born to the Jewish mother? So that's part of the shailas b'zman hazeh. You got different infertility things, you know, got these issues about the gears. Fine. So that's the situation. So do you have to wait havchana? Do you have to wait 3 months like you do by muberes chavero? You have to wait 3 months. Seems like from Tosis, when it comes to Geiris, you don't have to wait 3 months. Rabbi Kiva Eger brings up the Shaila. He says, from Tosis, in Sanhedrin, Chafal, Famin Aleph, sounds like Muberes Chavero, that if someone got pregnant from someone else, I don't have to wait in order to marry them, and I'm not concerned from the situation of Muberes. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, nah, it's not a Raya. Maybe the Gzeira of Muberes Chavero was only Nitkan after David HaMelech's days. It wasn't a Gzeirim Drabbanan that they made, that not to marry within the first 3 months. Maybe it applies. Tosis agrees that it applies to Geiris. But it just wasn't enacted yet, and that's why David HaMelech was with her right away. Fine. But how are you going to deal, if you don't accept Tosis Pshat, how are you going to deal with Rashi? Rashi seems to hold that there is Geiris, and you have to go through the process to be Megayer. So what's interesting is, there's Geiris, but there's something fundamental that's missing in this Geiris. We do exactly what we do to other women in Geirim, and get in the Geirus process, we ask her to go into the mikvah. But what's missing? Obviously, there's no milah when it comes to women. So what's missing? So something that people debate whether it's necessary. So the Rambam says when a person's megayer, he has to be toivel, he has to be mal. And some achroinim wanted to suggest that you see from the Rambam, kabbalas hamitzvahs is not necessary. From the fact that he says milah and tefillah, and kabbalas hamitzvahs is not necessary. You don't have to accept the mitzvahs. So the Achronim Chemda Shlomo came out a strong tshuva against that. That would basically take away all Geiris issues, that anyone has a question about the sincerity of the Geir. But they're right, the Rambam did leave it out in some cases. So the reason the Rambam left it out, the Rambam wrote it other places, because the Rambam was obviously saying that that's pasha. That's fundamental. When I meet a Geir, so I sit and talk to them and find out what their story is, whether they're sincere, after I've decided that there's Kabbalas HaMitzvahs and there's something to talk about here, then we can go through the procedure. Then we can go through the technicalities, the milah, the tefillah, all the... To say that, yeah, the Rambam didn't mention it when it came to the procedural things. But avada, Kabbalas HaMitzvahs is something that's essential, according to the Rambam, that there's nothing to talk about if there is no Kabbalas HaMitzvahs in the Geiris. And therefore, the Chemda Shlomo and others said that anyone who wants to be medayek in the Rambam, that it's only midrabbanan to have Kabbalas HaMitzvahs, is totally against what the Rambam meant. And obviously, Kabbalas HaMitzvahs is necessary. But we have a problem over here. Parshas Yifas Toyer, Parshas Kiseitze,
doesn't mention anything.
There's no Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. Fakir. This whole process is existing Baal Karcha. It's going against her will. She's a captive. So it's Geiris Baal Karcha. So how could Rashi at the same time call her a ger. It's not going through the gerus process. Because there's das that's missing. There's rotzen. There's will. There's the kabbalas and mitzvahs that's missing. So that's true. Eved is a type of gerus that is also bal karfo, right? That's true. And it might be, that's a good, so it is a good question, you know, when the Eved is freed, does he have to do a Tevila Shnia? So the Gemara says he has to do a Tevila Shnia. So Machlokas Rishonim, whether or not,
the first one?
At the beginning of the Avdus. So there's clearly a Tevila at the beginning, and a Mila at the beginning, but there's a din of a Tevila Shnia. So is that Tevila Shnia a Chiv D'Oraisa or a Chiv D'Rabbana? That was a machlokes the name of Yosef and other Rishonim. So Soloveitchik suggested, if you hold the Tevila Shnia as D'Oraisa, the reason is because that original Geirus was not really a full-fledged Geirus. It was for the status of Eved, but now when he wants to enter into full Kedushas Yisrael, so he needs something else. If you hold that the second Tevila is only Tevila Midrabbanan, so then you have a good point, that you do have certain situations. The problem is that she's not an Eved. She's, right. So, L'chayra, what you have over here is something fascinating. You have, and the Ramban writes this like this, Al-Tayra, you have a Geirus that doesn't smell like any other Geirus, because there's something essential from this Geirus that's missing. The Gemara says the Feirish that she's your wife. She's your wife. Yesh la likuchin, right? If she would sleep with another man at that point in time, she'd be chayv chenek.
Somebody.
What?
Somebody. So,
well, no, I can sleep with another woman.
No, no. If she sleeps with another man, she's a
oh, so would he, the guy who sleeps with her? Yeah. I was just saying, not the captor, right? So would he, right? And yet, maybe she's not Jewish.
Is that part of the dispensation because of the mechamah?
So maybe you're saying maybe it's part of the parsha of Kibush Mochama.
Yes,
right. So what you see over here is, and this is what the Ramban writes. Ramban writes that this is Parsha Kisetze. What do you have over here? And if we suggest this, although it's crazy, perhaps what you have here is a partial Geirus. You have a partial Geirus, says the Ramban, Legabe, that you now are married to this woman. And now when you're boel her, it creates likuchin. And if she sleeps with another man, she's chayav chenek. So there's ishus, and the Gemara says like that. Yet, to call her a full-fledged ger, we're not, because she was missing das. Memela, she's going to be your wife, who's a non-Jewish woman, and therefore her children will be what? Her children will be not Jewish. If her get, you mean? Does she need a get?
When I'm marrying her.
Yeah. Tzuba's all the Rabban. So do you need a get is a good question.
Yeah.
So the Ramban talks about that, Al-Tayr. Okay. Ramban says that he thinks that she can just walk away. And it sounds like, you know, Ishus of Bnei Nayach, that it's not that we're not considering this a real full-fledged marriage. It's a full-fledged marriage. But that marriage is severed once she's no longer with me. And he says, I don't think she would need a get. But as if, like, there was a possibility that she would need a get, because I'm really, and I'm not going back, says the Ramban, on the fact that she's chayav chenek if she sleeps with another man. Because there is Jewish marriage over here. So you realize what we have over here. We have a non-Jew, according to Rashi, if you're going with the first Mahalak, like Tosfos assumed in Rashi, so I don't understand. This woman's a full-fledged Jew. You were Megara this woman. Now you're married to her. So now her daughter's Jewish. If her daughter's Jewish, then we have a problem with Amna, right? Right. So if you don't accept that, and you go Alderech the Ramban al Torah, that no, maybe she has to do some sort of partial new type of Geirus. That will create a sense of marriage between the two of you that will have ramifications if she sleeps with another man. And it's not a full-fledged Geirus that she's fully Jewish, so therefore her children from that relationship will actually be non-Jewish. Yeah.
Maybe the two types of Geirus is the Geirus where you have to have Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs, where it's not necessarily a Chusula for a Geir to be Miskayer. But for this, if Ashtowar, maybe it's considered, and for an Eved also, for Neved Kanani, it's considered a schus hulo for them to become Jews. So it's like a non-ansadi that they...
Great. So that's the way I would have said before I learned Sanhedrin Chav Aleph. But now I have problems because then her daughter is going to be Jewish.
Yeah, but you don't need a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs because it's a schus to them at this point in their life.
Like a katan. So then the child is Jewish. That's full-fledged gears. I need to create a scenario.
After 30, maybe after Bishniya.
No, Rashi's saying that, yeah.
There's no mitzvah involved here with this woman.
Yeah, there is. She has to be told one mitzvah.
So, does it mean that a Pilegish needs to be Jewish?
Yeah.
So Pilegish is Jewish?
Yeah. Pilegish needs to be Jewish, yeah. No one's allowed.
And what about the fifth? The charge, what are they?
100%
Jewish. You fast tire?
No.
Your leg is Jewish. Is Jewish. We're both Jewish.
Even if she's not married.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
So what are
marriage? They? If I sleep with a penuya, the kids are Jewish.
Right, and they're not mamzer.
Right. As long as they're not out of wedlock, they're not mamzer.
Yeah. Okay.
So, could it be that what we're coming out over here is that there's two levels of geiris? There's a new parsha of geiris. That Parshas Yifas Torah is introducing to us a geiris le'inyan marriage, that you're actually married to a goy, and the children are going to be going. That's what the Avne Meluim writes. The Tzoyis HaChoshni says that's how the way to be Miyashiv Rashi. Rashi held there is a process to make it a status of marriage that begins her Jewish relationship, but she's not Jewish. She's not Jewish, and her children will not be Jewish from that relationship, and that will only happen later unless she totally converts and goes through the process completely. But otherwise, otherwise you're stuck. You're stuck with Rashi. You have halachos that apply to a guy. There's such an interesting Rashi. There's a Gemara that discusses the following. The Gemara says, Eved va'akum abol bas Yisrael. What's the din of a guy that sleeps with a Yisrael, right? So we all know, right? We all learned, and we paskin, right? Eved v'akum abas Yisrael, right? We paskin, kid's Jewish. So she's son of a Jewish mother, kid's Jewish. So that's not the language of the Gemara. The Gemara actually has two days about this. The Gemara says either havlad mamzer, which is the whole conversation why that should be in the first place, but that's one day in the Gemara. We don't paskin like that day. The other day is, which we paskin like, is that havlad kosher. What does it mean, Havlad Kosher? So I would have read the Gemara and say, Havlad Kosher, what does that mean? Havlad Kosher, that she's Jewish, that the kid's Jewish. Just like we all assume that any time the child is born from a Jewish mother, you follow the mother and the Vlad is and the child is Jewish. Comes along Rashi and Tosis and Chorus and Yevamis and Kiddushin in many different areas of the child. Rashi and Tosis both say this. Vlad is Kosher, that there is no mamzeres, but the kid is a goy. And I'll tell you, Rabbi Yisai, you all saw this Rashi, even if you didn't see it in Kiddushin, in Yevamis, or in Pchurs. It's a Rashi ala Torah. Rashi in Emor, Rashi writes by the Megadif, right? Rashi says that the Mitzri, right, the Mitzri that slept with Shloimis Bas Divri, right? Yeah. Rashi writes, and that ultimately ended up being the Megadif. Mm-hmm. What does Rashi write there? Look it up in Parshas Emor. La'achar Shenis Gayer. Ask the Shara Melech on that. Rashi, La'achar Shenis Gayer. The Ramban already jumps on Rashi. What Geiris? This mother with Shloimis Bas Divri. She's Jewish. What Geiris? Sounds like Rashi holds what? The child, when the Gemara says the child is kosher, it's ksheris from mamzeris. But the child needs geiris.
Meaning, it can be gaya, but it's not going to be a mamzer.
Exactly. But that means that the child is a gaya court. I would ask Rashi and Tosis, the two interpretations on the daf. What's the status of such a child? Child's kosher. Good. But the Gemara discusses in B'choris whether or not an Akum who sleeps with a Bas Levi is the chayiv or potter in pidyon aben. So all the rishonim ask, how are you handling the halachas of pidyon aben if the child's a goy? Doesn't work. if the child's a guy, there's no halachas of binyan haben. Who cares where the yichus is? This child is no yichus. It's not connected. So Elamai, you see, rationalization they're wrong. Avlad kosher meant the Vlad's Jewish. And now the discussion is, what happens if you slept with a guy? Is he still potter from binyan haben? That's something that's relevant to Judaism. But who in the street, in the Gentile world, is discussing yichus binyan haben? Unless some suggest, no. There are certain halachas that are relevant for this child. And it's not a full-fledged guy. Even when Rashi said Avlad kosher, there were elements that we view the child to be Jewish, because ultimately he came from a Jewish mother, but there is still needed a complete gerus to kind of like finish up the Jewish ingredients on this child. Means ultimately we break down this child. The child was born to a Jewish mother. Let's not take Rashi literally that the child is totally goy. Because if that's the case, how do you deal with halachas the Gemara is saying about whether it's chayv or potter and pidyon haben? Can't say this is a full-fledged goy. Rather, Rashi says, no, it was born to a Jewish mother. It's not fully Jewish. It will require geiris to complete the process. Why, ultimately? Because what? Because it came from a Jewish father. And that had some input in this child. Certain achronim break it down to, it might have Jewish nationality, what you call in halacha Shem Yisrael, but it doesn't necessarily have Kedushas Yisrael. Kedushas Yisrael was delivered from the father, and since the father was a guy, their child will still need geirus. This was a shaila halacha l'maisa. What do you have? You have a child that was born from a mother who was impregnated from a goyish man. Does the child need to do geirus? So, I believe Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was machmer on the shaila. This is brought up in the Pischei Tshuva in the beginning of Eben Ezer, and the Nesivus is quoted to be machmer on the shaila. Based on what I'm saying to you, based on a chashash of Rashi and Tosfos, because Rashi and Tosfos is right that the Vlad is kosher means some sort of goyish. I'm just some sort of goy. Again, we're developing that it's not a full fledged goy. There is a partial geirus, but it needs to be completed later on. So some poskim were chayshish for this. Lemais, the most poskim weren't. Rav Shechter told me that I think there were two times that Rav Avadia Yosef came to YU for like a week just to give shiur.
I remember one of them.
So he said each time that he was there, he spoke about this issue, and he said we're not chayshish for that nesivus. We're not chayshish for this Rashi and Tesis, and we paskin that there is no geirus necessary, and we're not chayshish for Rashi and Tesis. Havlad kosher means Havlad is Jewish, like we all assumed originally, and this child is a full-fledged Jewish child once it's born to the Jewish mother. He just says Rashi and Tesis interpretation is not necessarily correct, but I'm just borrowing from that Rashi and Tesis that you have certain times that there's elements that a person is Jewish, but not the full-fledged way, all the way. And ultimately, what we have over here is not by the child, but by the mother, by Yefas Toyer. She started the Geirus process, but she didn't complete the Geirus process, and therefore, she will have Jewish marriage, but she won't have Jewish children from that Jewish marriage. And Tamar will still be considered a Goya that will need to do Geirus afterwards, even though her mother began a Geirus process, because it wasn't a complete Geirus process, it was Bal Karcha, so therefore, the child is still a Goy. Yeah,
why leave it to be dealt with as far as Shilas and Shuvas?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't there be a Mishnah dealing with that? If it's a separate classification, the king could be a Daf, it'd be a Parrot.
There is, but they're different Rishonim that interpret the Gemara. The Gemara says the Farish, Havlad Kosher. So what does that mean? Havlad kosher from Amzeris? Or kosher like we all assumed? Kosher meaning, no, that's a full-fledged Jew. So most Rishonim read like you said, no, that's pretty Beferish. But there were these few interpretations that read it differently. So the question is, do we have to be choshish for that minority opinion?
According to Rav Aaron, who was Machmir,
yeah,
does it have ramifications, say, the grandson or the granddaughter of this ger wouldn't need a get? If there was no geirus, then that person
I don't think Rabaron would say it lakula. Meaning, I think it was chayshish, but I don't think he would say lakula. He still held that you have to be choshish on both sides. Rashi would say it like that. Okay. So that's in terms of this. there is a fascinating, just once we're on the topic of Ishes Fastayr, there's, you know what, I'll just on this idea of being Bal Karcha, the Geirus was here, is missing an essential element, the fact that the Geirus was against her will. So there's a Kasha, the Makna asked in Kiddushin. The Gemara says that you should be Ba Al Yifastayr, and not only that, but you can be Ba Al Yifastayr. It's also a Rashi in Parshas Kitzei. Afilu Ishes Ish. Even if she's married to a Goyish man, they have a beautiful family, doesn't matter, don't let that stop you, and you are allowed to marry her. We don't have time to get into that, but why do I have to consider an Ashes Ish in the Goyish world?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like the Gemara is telling me, no, there would be some sort of Isser from a Gentile marriage that affects Jewish halacha. Just as an aside, that's interesting. But ask the Makneh in light of our sugya, I don't understand. If Rashi holds that she's Megayer, right, and obviously the Makneh was not going with our fancy explanation that it's a partial Geirus, but she's really still a Goy. But let's say, like the way Tosus understood Rashi, she's a Geir, she's a full-fledged Geir. So ask the Makneh, Geirus is could cut the Chanolo dummy.
Yeah,
so once she was Megayer, of course she's not. What's Afilu Baal Eishes Ish? What do you mean a Chiddush of Eishes Ish? Who cares about her marriage? She's like a newborn child after the Geirus. So she severs all her ties, just like she's not related anymore to her father, to her mother, she's not related to her marriage relationship, to her husband either. So what's the chiddush of the Torah telling me? Yifastayr afilu eishes ish. So I found, I have a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Mordechai Kalbach. He has a sefer Chavetz Hasharan. He has a beautiful answer to this question. And this really gets into a big yisod. If our Geirus at Mount Terech. The Gemara tells us in Kareisus on Daf Tes that the source for Geirus was from Mount Terech, right? There was Mila there, there was Tvila there, there was a Karban there. All the dinim of Geirus was all learnt out from what happened at Mount Terech. So the discussion was is that the Torah says in Parshas Baaloscha that once Am Yisrael left Maimon Har Sinai, they started crying. So the Gemara says, why they cry? So the Medrash says, "Bachku al iske mishpachosehem." They were bochal al mishpachosehem. They were baicha on now that the fact that they have a list of parshas achrimos, that they have all the halachas of arayos, that is now restricted on them, that now they can no longer. So I asked the achronim, what do you mean? They went through geirus. If they went through geirus, so gerushin is gari kikotin shenol domi. If a ger that converts is like a newborn child, so now let them marry whoever they wanted and they can go back to their old relationships because they're no longer technically related to them and everything should be mutter. So there is a Maharal that the Maharal answers that this idea of Gershneskaya Kakatan Shinoladami doesn't apply to a Geris that happened through coercion. And we know that at Maimon Har Sinai, there was kafal leim har kegigas. Hakadosh Baruch Hu forced us. So says the Maharal. Why that should be is another explanation. We need to explain that as well. But the Maharal says, since the geirus was done through coercion, you don't say gershin eskayer kekatan shenol dami. It has to do with the fact that you do connect to your past, whatever it is. It was a geirus of coercion. Fine. If a person says, I want to be Megayer with Ratzon, so then he's severing his connection. But if a person is coerced, therefore the Maharal says, there wasn't a din, legabe man Torah, of Gershon Iskayer Kotzen Shinol Dami. Says Rav Kalbach, Gevaldige Teretz. Once you accept that Maharal, that's the situation with Yifas Torah also. Again, the Makna asked on Rashi, what do you mean? You're a Megayer? Of course you're allowed to be married. You're not related anymore to that Eishes Ish. No, said Rav Kalbach. You're Geirus Bal Korchach. This is a different type of Geirus. This is a Geirus of Yifas Toyer. It was Bal Korchach. This is really enacting the same exact story of what happened at Mount Zaira. If that's the case, then the Maharal is correct. You don't take a Katan Shinola dummy on this Geirus. And the Mela, you're still actually connected. That's why the Torah has to say, Afilu Eishes Ish, you can still marry such a Yifas Toyer. Okay, so what we have over here is we have a few chidushim in how to learn this parsha of Yifas Torah. Rashi is very difficult. Are there any other pshatim? We have Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam explaining Yifas Torah to be very, very simple. Either you're marrying a full-fledged goy, or Rashi says, no, she has to go through a certain process question whether or not she's Jewish at the end of that process, and that will affect our Gemara about whether the children would be considered Jewish, or she's partially Jewish, Lagabi certain dinim, not Lagabi all dinim. So some Rishonim wanted to defend Rashi, and they wanted to say, no, it depends. It depends where he sleeps with her. If he sleeps with her in the middle of the Milchama, so then Rashi says you have to go through the whole process of what the Torah says. If you take it to a hidden area, to a makom mutzna, so then Rashi would say that that's where you would have the heter, and perhaps that's how you can get around this issue of why Tamar was considered still a non-Jew, because she didn't go through the gerus process, because it was being done in a private area. Okay, so then the Gemara just goes into the story of Tamar and Amnon. Fascinating story. Amnon ultimately got stuck on a hair when he was trying to connect with her, and the Gemara says that he became a krus shivcha. He became a person that no longer has the ability to, his aver was affected, and ultimately that's going to have ramifications. A krus shivcha is lo yavo b'kal Hashem, a person who loses his aver, or if you, the Gemara in Ha'arel, and the 8th paragraph of Yovamas goes through all the different details of different krus shivchas, of people that their aver was affected, that ultimately cannot marry into Kal Hashem, and that was the Gemara says what happened ultimately in this story. But the Gemara presents that Tamar was a tzaddikus. So we skip to the end of the Gemara just to save time. The Gemara says. Atiyach Tamar, three lines from the top. Atiyach Tamar, Efer al Rosha, Vesakstonas Pasim, Asher Allah, Kara, Tana Mishmeder Yushim and Kara, Geder Gadol Gadra Tamar Ba'osasha. After this story of her interaction with Amnon, right, what happened in seclusion, so Gemara says she was walking around with ripped clothing and with Efer and with ashes on her head. What did that represent? What's the pasuk trying to tell us? She made a gzera. Fascinating. Geder gadol gadra tamar ba'osasha. Amru, livlois alachim, kach livnos hediotos. If this is what's happening to the son, the daughter of kings, so too this is what's going to happen to regular women. Alachs kamakam v'kama, im litznuos kach liprutzos. And if the tznius woman like me, so then it's going to happen to prutzos, alachs kamakam. So what happened? Amrav yudra amrav. So what do they do? Also, Shah at that time, Gazru al Hayichud. They made a new Isser in Jewish history. They made the Isser Yichud. And what else did they do? The Al HaPnuya. What does that mean by Al HaPnuya? They asser that a man cannot be with a single girl. Right? So the Gemara is going to, we don't have time, the Gemara is going to ask on this gzera, whoa, yichud, yichud's a gzera, yichud's a din d'oraisa, yichud, there's psukim for yichud. What do you mean she was gozer on yichud? And I have a question, what does it mean they asered being together with a pnuya? Didn't we discuss last week that the Rambam tells us that for a single guy to be with a single girl would be a violation d'oraisa of kdesha, of zona? And you're not allowed to just be with a woman. So, according to most Rishonim that disagree with the Rambam, they read this Gemara fine. Up until Tamar, until this story, there wasn't an Isser to be, as long as she was Tahora, as long as you make sure that she's not an Ida, there wasn't an Isser to be with a single woman. You're allowed to be with a single woman. Just like the Ravid says, Pilegesh is an example of being with a single woman. No problem, you're allowed to be with a single woman. But according to the Rambam, who holds what? That there's an Isser Zaina, there's an Isser Kadesha to be with a single woman. So then, how are you going to understand the story? Not only the question, how are you going to understand the yichud aspect, how are you going to understand the isser that now they enacted that it's usher to be with a pnuy?